Introduction: My story and the birth of No More Dieting.
Wow, you look great!
Kay looked me up and down with her eyes popping out of her head. I hadn't seen her in a while, and she was used to seeing me much bigger.
What diet are you doing? You have to tell me.
No diet, I said. I think her eyes got even bigger. I don't diet anymore. I refuse to diet anymore. Kay looked bewildered. I don't get it. So how did you lose all the weight? Kay knew about my lifetime struggle with food and weight, as I knew about hers. She was aware that as an obese child, I was taken to my first fat clinic at age 7, prescribed a handful of pills to take multiple times a day, and got a shot in the rump twice a week to boot. Naturally, I protested, and my mom eventually took me out of the program. And then I remained that fat kid for several years until I became anorexic at 13. I would allow myself only water for 2 days and then eat on the third day and then repeat. This resulted in a 50-pound weight loss over one school semester. But one day I ate and couldn't stop eating. Determined not to gain all my weight back, I began vomiting up the food. This marked a 9-year stretch of bulimia, which I practiced multiple times a day. Finally, at 22, I had had enough. With the help of family, I was admitted into an inpatient recovery unit where I stopped the binge purge cycle, at least for the 30 days I was there. I relapsed upon discharge, but I remained in counseling and attended regular recovery meetings. It was touch and go for a while as I struggled to live normal in the outside world. Eventually, I remained abstinent from bulimia, but I continued the binge eating. I promptly ballooned back up to a state of obesity, and there I remained for the next 20 years. Kay and I knew each other through mutual friends. All of us gals would get together at one of our homes every so often, and Kay and I would inevitably migrate to each other. We had bond over exchanging our fat chick woes. We'd discuss our love for food, our most recent binge capades, and we'd empathize with each other as fellow food addicts. We'd wrap up our discussion by deciding to do the latest diet together, starting tomorrow, always tomorrow, so we could finally become the divas that we knew we were meant to be. Then we'd celebrate our upcoming gorgeousness with the yummy eats we had all brought to girls' night, sort of a last supper type of feast. When we'd see each other a few months later, we'd both be just as big, same as always, and we'd launch into our fat chick woes again, same as always. It was like a bad reoccurring dream that carried on for years. So you can imagine Kay's surprise when she saw me this time around. I was no longer wearing double-digit sizes. My face was chiseled and my belly was flat. Well, it was flatter anyway. I looked fabulous, and I felt amazing. I had arrived at the destination we both had dreamed of our whole lives, yet I was telling her that dieting had nothing to do with it. She was utterly baffled. I said to her, "Sit down, girl. I can't wait to break it down to you." Kay dropped like an anchor onto the couch, and I landed right beside her. We tuned out the other girls, and she was all ears, and I was willing to share. It all started with my last year in medical school. I had given birth to my second son several months earlier. I was already obese when I got pregnant, and now I was stuck with an additional 40 pounds that I hadn't lost after giving birth. I was beyond huge. I felt like a big fat pastry, a soft, doughy, amorphous blob bumbling about all short of breath in my plus-size clothes, just gross. I was so embarrassed with myself. I had never been content being obese, but I had been the same weight, give or take a few pounds, for about 20 years. So I had adapted and had somewhat become comfortable with my size. I was big, but I maximized my cuteness in the skin I was in, and life went on. But now I was outside of my comfort zone. Way outside of my comfort zone. I couldn't even pull off fat cute anymore. Now I was just fat. I couldn't take it. I had gone too far. I was doing a medical rotation at Northridge, California, when I found myself standing frozen in the midst of the cafeteria at lunchtime. I stood around looking at all the options and wondering for the millionth time, okay,
What am I going to eat? Hot food? No, it looks too greasy. Deli? Maybe. Well, the salad bar, perhaps. No, not feeling salad today. But I do need something low-cal. Well, actually, it should be low-cal, low-carb. Well, no, it should be high-protein, too. Yeah, low-cal, low-carb, high-protein, right. Well, that's what I should get if I'm going to be a good girl today. Yeah, that's what I should get. Well, how about a snack? Maybe one of those 100-calorie snack packs? Oh, no, I hate those. I can eat 10 of those. One is just a tease. Well, how about fruit? Yeah, fruit. Oh, but then I'm not low-carb anymore. Well, that depends on how much fruit I eat and what kind of fruit I get. Oh, just forget it. This is too much to think about. I'll just grab something to drink. Oh, but what to drink? What to drink? Diet soda? Ah, no, I really should cut back. I should drink more water. Oh, but I don't want water. Well, maybe flavored water. Well, how about a Snapple? A diet Snapple? That's kind of a compromise, isn't it? Oh, and on and on and on it went. I suddenly became aware that I felt tired. So tired. Exhausted, really. So I just sat down. I thought about the infinite food choices, and I thought about my weight. I was determined to take the extra weight off, but how? I just could never figure out what to do. Over the years, I had tried to follow the dieting trends and the official recommendations, but no matter what I did, I failed at losing weight time and time and time again. Why did it have to be so complicated? In my usual mode of desperation, I considered dieting yet again because it was all I knew. When out of nowhere, something inside of me screamed, "No more dieting! Don't fool yourself. You know dieting doesn't work. Don't waste another second on it." This was like something I had never experienced before. It was like I was being shaken to my senses from the inside out. In an instant, I had a resolve to never resort to dieting again, just like that. It was like the door slammed shut to the option. It was locked once and for all. And I knew in that moment I would never go back. This was exciting. But I was apprehensive as well. But so what now? If dieting isn't the answer, how am I going to get the weight off? Then I began considering a few simple concepts. I thought, okay, well, what if I freely allowed myself to eat whenever I was genuinely hungry? No more enduring hours of starvation like I did when I was dieting. And what if I allowed myself to eat whatever I wanted? I would satisfy my body, not my taste buds or not my emotions. I would just eat until my body was satisfied. But you know, I really should try to eat only if I am genuinely hungry, instead of eating just for the sake of eating, like I've always done before. This would mean no stress eating, no self-medicating with food, no boredom eating, unconscious TV snacking, no eating without any thought, as I used to do, whether I was hungry or not. I thought about this. It's like discipline, yet liberty. Disciplined liberty. I like it. I like it a lot. Sort of like the old eat to live, don't live to eat approach. It feels natural, normal. But could I do that? Could I practice such discipline? You see, I had always considered myself uncontrollable when it came to eating, especially with eating foods that I love. Dare I now consider living so freely? Living with no lists of foods that I can and cannot eat? Can I be trusted with such liberty? It seemed pretty audacious, but I loved the idea of eating from this place of authenticity for a change. Eating with consideration as to what my body may actually want or need, rather than just trying to manipulate it with diets for the sake of losing weight. Yes, I think I can do this. It's totally reasonable. It makes perfect sense. Okay, from this day forward, I'm going to do my best to eat whenever I'm truly hungry. No starving allowed. When I am truly hungry and I'm ready to eat, I will eat whatever I want. There will be no restrictions in my food choices, no deprivation. I will strive to make healthy choices the best I can, but I will eat the foods that I want. I will also do my best to stop eating once my body is satisfied. I won't let myself feel hungry, but I won't eat past the point I am full. I won't eat to satisfy my emotions. I won't eat socially. I will eat when I feel that slight, gentle pressure in my belly. And I will do my best to stop eating at that point. And I won't eat in between the hours that I'm not genuinely hungry. If I have no signs of hunger, such as that gnawing feeling in my gut or hear my stomach growling, I'll hold off on eating until I do. And with this thought process, the basic framework of no more dieting was born. I was still sitting in the hospital cafeteria. So with this, I asked myself, okay, what do I really want to eat? Numerous possibilities ran through my mind. Of all of the options I considered, get this, it was an egg salad sandwich that I desired that day. I know, it's quite anticlimactic, but it was authentic nonetheless. I knew it was a sincere desire because it made my mouth water when I thought of eating it. So an egg salad sandwich for lunch is what it would be. So next, instead of grabbing a pre-made sandwich and enhancing it with goo gobs of mayonnaise, because I'm one of those, I considered what I could do to enjoy the taste I wanted, but in the healthiest way possible. I decided to construct my own egg salad sandwich. So I grabbed 6 boiled eggs. I kept the whites, but just one yolk. Instead of using 3 or 4 packets of mayo like I normally would do, I grabbed 1 packet, and I grabbed a packet of mustard, a salt, and a pepper. I ate the egg salad on 1 slice of wheat bread, along with an apple and a bottle of water. I was shocked when I became aware of a sense of fullness in my gut after eating this small meal. Well, it was small to me anyway. And I was totally amazed that I was completely satisfied with what? An egg salad sandwich? Really? Who would have known? I left the cafeteria with a bounce in my step. Although I had just eaten, I felt lighter walking out than I had coming in. For the first time in ever, I felt like I was in control. I was in control of my food. I was in control of myself. I was in control of my thoughts. I felt like I was in control of my life. But that was a pretty big boost of confidence for just one lunchtime victory, I know. But I knew I was onto something. This was the beginning of greater things to come. I promised myself I would not eat again until my stomach actually growled, indicating for sure I was hungry. And when it growled, I did eat again, but not before. And each time I ate from that point on, I asked myself ahead of time, what is it that I truly wanted to eat? My choices ran the gamut, from salad to cake, from fruit to chocolate, from beef to fish and everything in between. I ate it and loved every bite. And to my delight, the weight began coming off. What was equally fulfilling, if not more, was the newfound sense of self-love I developed as I learned to trust myself and trust my desires while simultaneously respecting the boundaries of my body. The more I trusted myself to eat authentically, the stronger I became, and the more I actually enjoyed practicing discipline. In hindsight, this made sense. People tend to want to live up to the trust that's granted them, but they also may live up to the distrust that's ascribed to them, albeit unintentionally. I hadn't realized that the lack of faith I had in myself to manage my behavior and the needs of my body was like a perpetual self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, back to Kay. I wrapped up my narrative by explaining to Kay that this well-thought-out egg salad sandwich marked the beginning of effortless weight loss for me and true freedom from compulsive eating. But Kay had only one question. How long have you been doing this and how much weight have you lost?
What? I was a little taken aback. I had raved on and on about literally having my cake and eating it too. And the joy of eating authentically. I spoke of so many amazing benefits, not just physical, but psychological as well. Frankly, I was a little surprised and a little perturbed that my weight loss was all she was interested in after everything I had shared. But nevertheless, I stammered, well, it's been about 5 months and I've lost about 30 pounds. She didn't look impressed. Maybe I didn't explain it right. Well, that's 6 dress sizes on me, I added to emphasize my achievement. She scoffed, almost snorted. That's only 6 pounds a month. I could lose that in a week. And that was it. Case dismissed. I was stunned. I looked at her in awe and disbelief. It was though she hadn't heard anything else I said. The only thing that mattered was how much weight I had lost and in how much time. She couldn't appreciate the extent of the healing and restoration I was trying to relay. I realized that Kay was in the midst of still looking for that ever-elusive quick fix. She was waiting for that next abracadabra diet that promises 30 pounds lost in 30 days or your money back. I understood that mindset all too well because that had been me just 5 months earlier. I immediately felt gratitude for being on the other side of this futile thinking. But at the same time, I was disappointed that I was unable to successfully convey the freedom and peace that occurs when we give up trying to live within the constraints of dieting and instead live and eat from a place of authenticity. Kay was having no part of it. She was still chasing the dream, looking for that miracle weight loss solution. Although I sensed defeat, I gave it one last shot. It doesn't even have to take 5 months. That's just how long it took me. But even if it does, how many times has 5 months passed without having lost the weight anyway? At least this way, the weight is easy to lose. It's painless. You do it without dieting. There's no torture. Crickets. Girl, bye. Well, over the next year or two, I saw Kay a few more times. She continued to complain about all the weight she needed to lose, and I continued to offer to walk her through the process of real change. But she wasn't interested. Instead, she would say things like, "Well, I'm glad it worked for you, but I can't allow myself to eat my binge foods. I can't control myself. I'd gain 100 more pounds." "No, Kay," I'd say. "You binge on those foods because you don't allow yourself to have them. If they weren't off limits, they would lose their appeal and they wouldn't seem like such a big deal. After having them freely a few times, you wouldn't want to eat them as often." I told her that by fixing the problem on the inside, namely her perspective, the outside would naturally follow. But I was never able to convince her. She eventually moved away and we lost touch. I realized then that the counseling I offer would not be received by everyone. You see, it's not tangible, like a case of diet food that one can just carry away from the clinic. And it requires more participation than just being passively told how many calories to consume or what type of food to eat in order to lose weight. No. No more dieting calls for active introspection and elimination of unprofitable beliefs, followed by action. And everyone is not up to the task of taking charge of their life in this way. But for those of you who sense that permanent change comes from the inside out, I invite you to jump off the hamster wheel of dieting and join me on the path of true transformation.